There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Hit that music, DJ. Hit that music.
That's right.
Pump it up! Woo!
Welcome to the show, everybody. That's
Shine
Marcus Parks.
Shoes, y'all.
I'm Ben Kissel. To my left, we got this goofball over here.
You gotta put fresh embroidery on them broad-rimmed jeans, my cracko.
What are you right now?
I'm unpredictable, Henry Zebrowski.
Oh, wow. Very unpredictable.
Yes, yes, yes. Please enjoy this wonderful music.
That's right. We haven't heard of Curtis Mayfield. From unpredictable Henry Zebrowski in quite a while.
I have embroidered underwear that's cooler than you. My name's Curtis Mayfield.
That's true.
Where did you get the idea that Curtis Mayfield has embroidered underwear?
I mean, he probably does.
I got the shiniest fingernails in this room because I've been playing funk since I'm 2 years old.
Does that make your fingernails very shiny? I didn't realize
you
that, Curtis.
You got to believe I started dancing in my mama's belly. I kicked a liver.
Wait a minute. I know that. I know that voice.
I know. It doesn't sound like Curtis. It sounds like a detective's gone undercover.
Fooled you again. Never a criminal's aware of where I lie down. You think I'm about to lay some slick funk licks down on you? The only slick thing I got is a lap full of creamy, shiny butter.
Well, I'm happy you're here, Detective Popcorn. I'm happy you're here. It's time for part two of our coverage of black serial killers. And today we're going to be discussing a huge case, very underreported, that takes place in San Francisco, the Zebra Murders.
Now, these Zebra Murders are absolutely fascinating. I cannot believe there has been no research done on this
Zero.
Topic whatsoever. I try to go out there and find some more juicy tidbits out there for more conspiracy theories stuff tied into it. And
did you
nothing.
Check out zebrakillingsjuicytidbits.com?
Oh, yes. And all it was just like people sewing tits onto dead zebra bodies.
Oh, that's weird, but yeah. Fetish.
There have been two books written about this subject. The first one is a fictionalized account of it that does take a lot of the facts into the writing of it.
It was just zebras killing lions.
That was the problem.
It was like Animal Farm, but with a lot of racial undertones.
And there was another one written in 2000.
Animal Farm did have a lot of racial undertones.
I never read it. I just love the cover.
Oh, okay. The pig, I think, is on the cover.
Just kept licking it. It's like, oh, Mama, just this breakfast. It's like, yeah. No, honey, that's what you're supposed to be reading for school.
Right, not eating for breakfast. Well, I don't know if
I
you read the
I better be
book,
funny but... at school today or no one's going to like me.
The other book was written in 2006, which was written by a couple of the cops that were on the case.
Okay.
And they mostly focus on racial politics within the San Francisco Police Department. And supposedly that book is being made into a movie starring Jamie Foxx, although
really?
It looks, by reading the synopsis of the movie, it looks like that the killings will merely be backdrop, and it's just a movie to talk about the racial undertones and the SFPD.
I hate that!
They're not even going to be. They're barely going to be paying attention to the movie. And the shitty thing is about it is that the movie is going to be about how this black detective cracked the case, despite like going up against the white establishment.
Okay.
When nobody cracked the case, which we will get to this. We will get to the end of the case earlier.
Your dude, bro, pulled a Romney and flip flop on him.
Flip flop Romney.
We'll get to that way. We'll get to that near
Nothing
the end of
I
the episode.
Nothing I disrespect more than a grim flip flopper like a Romney out there.
That's
flip
right.
Flopping on your death cult friends. What are you?
Yeah. So let's tell people what the zebra killings were. Like what the zebra killings. It was a string of racially motivated murders that was committed by four black dudes back in 1973.
Well, four got convicted.
Right. Seven were arrested, all in all, but four were convicted. It went from October 1973 to April 1974, right on the heels of the Zodiac murders.
That should have been a funky Halloween, but instead it was. A bloody, bloody All Hallows Eve. You know what I'm saying? Welcome to DJ 104.
104, wow.
It's just Halloween. A DJ standing on 104th Street.
Oh, okay.
There were two waves of killings. These were all killings that were done by black guys on white people, except for one guy that was a Muslim that they killed. It was a Jordanian Arab who ran a grocery store in San Francisco.
And I bet they were just doing that to kind of like flip the script anyway, to just be like, well, now we'll kill anybody.
Could be. And
it paralyzed the entire city.
Well, I was under the impression they killed him because he was he found out who they were and was threatening to report them. That's why they killed the Arab fellow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Well, these guys were some nefarious motherfuckers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They did some crazy stuff. They shut down San Francisco for an entire year. They literally set them back, like, because no one was coming. The city, the streets were empty. They were randomly shooting people in the face. Even one story is how, like, they shot one person in the face, ran around the corner, saw another woman taking groceries out of a van and shot her in the face.
Right.
And then jumped into a van himself.
And that's tough to choreograph, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, they're
a lot
highly,
to do.
They're very athletic.
Oh, why is that?
Because
let's not break it down. Let's not get into genetics right now. Let's not do this.
All right. Let's kick that. And these guys were all members of a black Muslim cult called the Death Angels.
Which we'll find out later. Yeah. And then again, and I try to go deeper into research on the Death Angels because apparently there was a conspiracy theory later on that there was some sort of a Maharaja or whatever, some kind of cult leader that was like helping them.
Okay.
And if you start researching that, you get flagged.
Oh, of course.
Like they,
yeah.
I sort of was just like, you know, Death Angels cult leader. And I was like, please, can I meet him, please? Like, you know, question mark.
Right.
And it was just malware. And I was like, oh, boogie boo.
Yes.
And then because the problem was I had already bookmarked a whole bunch of stuff on pressure cookers and how to get a bunch of.
Why you got flagged.
All different sorts of gunpowder. Right.
Of course, yeah.
But only
yeah.
because I'm trying to make my 5-alarm chili for the summertime.
Right, then of course it requires you to have a pressure cooker and a bunch of gunpowder. Really quick with cult leaders, I want to say thank you to Lord Royale's follower. Mm-hmm. First of all, for threatening, one of them threatened us.
Yes, one of them
with
said
physical
that
harm.
We are playing a dangerous game.
Indeed.
Like, okay.
So God bless you, sir.
So excuse me, first of all, before I write this message, I must clean the ice cream residue from my keyboard.
Yes. That's the only way to really
I
get the hate across.
I was eating a Nutter Butter, and then I realize eventually I will bring your death.
Oh, fascinating. And then another follower, who has been following him for a couple of months now, is going to give us some very top secret information.
I just think he's going to give us like skid marked underwear. Well, that's
top
bag.
Top secret though. So we'll be touching on that subject later. Anyway, back to the zebra killings and their sage.
Yes, these guys were also members of the Nation of Islam, who many of you already know. You know this Louis Farrakhan hate group that's been operating for years and years.
Great
now.
Bow ties.
Great bow. I mean, that's
best
their
bow
thing.
Ties.
That's their thing is bow ties. Their beliefs can be summed up in one sentence that I found. Allah is God, the white man is the devil, and the so-called Negroes are the Asiatic black people, the cream of the planet Earth.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. Yeah. I like that. I love being the white devil, by the way.
I love being the white devil.
I'm already a white devil.
Right.
Yeah, I'm down. We got to take that back.
We do have to
take
that
word back. Yeah, you're right. I am one nasty old white devil.
That's
aren't
right.
Aren't I, friends?
Henry had both of his arms on his hips, and he was wiggling around as if he was scolding a child for not eating enough macaroni and cheese or something.
You want to see how this white devil's going to mop you up on the dance floor, my Negro friends? And they'll take that word back.
Right, sure. Yeah, no, it's all coming together. Everyone's getting
Everyone
their words back.
Everyone takes the words back. And then I don't need to be unpredictable, Henry Zebrowski, because then we can all just be predictable in our togetherness. Yes.
Right.
I agree.
Well, what a dance-off that would be, huh?
Yeah, I'll lace up my high-top sneakers.
All right, Marcus, back to you.
Well, what we were talking about, what Henry was saying earlier, is that the information out there is scant, to say the least.
Right.
There is very little information out there about the zebra killings.
Can we say there's a conspiracy about that?
I don't think there's a conspiracy. I just think that there is very much, like you were saying last week, an apprehension of the white, because the white race doesn't want to say, doesn't want to talk about racial crimes, black on white, and the black race would also not like to talk about about
that. Right. You know what's really fucked up is that it really just shows how easy it is to stop activity in an entire city.
Yeah.
It's very easy to do. All you have to do is randomly shoot 14 white people, and they will just stop doing stuff.
That's how you stop white people from doing things. You know, start shooting them.
I want to say white people would just get together and be like, we're going to party our way through this crisis. Everybody, start the Lawrence Welk. We're going to get some brats cooking. Don't worry about it. No one will kill us while we're out here showing how proud we are.
Right, right.
No, we just crawl back into our mansions and count our coins.
It's difficult. Yeah, it's very difficult to be a white San Franciscan.
All the extra TVs we got going on in each room, each one playing a different channel.
It gets aggravating,
it's
though.
It's tough being a white devil every day.
Yeah. You know, people don't fully understand the plight of the white devil, but you're really capturing the overall pain very, very well.
The one thing, the one man that I did find that was brave enough to actually cover these murders, his name, Russ Kyle.
This guy is great. He is. Are there more of these videos?
There are. He does one on Patty Hearst. He does one just on general San Francisco murders.
He runs
murders.
This thing called San Francisco Crime Tours, and it's great. And we'll play some clips for you now and just set the scene. Yeah. October 1973. Put your bell bottoms on. Make sure your boobies are floating around your big blousy shirts and you get your hard nipples because it's cold in San Francisco summertime.
Yeah,
men showing everybody their chest hair, big long luscious hair, and everyone's pressing the crotches together.
Are you hard right now?
October 1973.
Okay, let's
funky
listen to Russ
Halloween.
Kyle. As opposed to Henry getting himself off over here.
This is my new favorite guy, by the way. I love this guy. All right, so Russ Kyle, setting the scene of the zebra killings.
He looks like how Ed should look.
Ed Larson from the Roundtable of Gentlemen.
All right.
It's a beautiful night for a stroll. Just like every other night atop Telegraph Hill, one of the safest neighborhoods in San Francisco, and a neighborhood with some of the most spectacular views the city has to offer.
He's also sucking on a cigar the entire time.
But back in 1973, on October 19th, this street proved anything but safe.
Hell yeah.
When Richard Haig and his petite wife, Keita, went out for their after-dinner stroll along
He choked on some
sausage. They
didn't
think anything of it when they noticed two black men on either side of the street.
He also hits black real hard.
Real hard a lot.
Soon a struggle ensued that involved guns. Richard and Keita Haig were abducted into the back of a van, and thus began the saga of the zebra killers.
And he's from your hometown, if you can hear in his accent.
Is he from Wisconsin?
He's like saga.
Saga?
The saga. Yeah, how you say bagel.
Maybe there's some...
And patsa.
And flag.
Plague.
You do say plague.
Plague?
You say plague instead of plague.
Yeah, instead of plague, you say plague.
Well, if a bunch of people die...
You're from a backwoods town with full of hut people. We know this.
Wisconsin's a wonderful place, full of lovely cow people and very, very good
Wisconsin is filled
women.
With beautiful, beautiful women and big men.
You would be considered very attractive in Wisconsin.
Oh, no. Invite me to your homes, Wisconsin.
Yeah, they would. They're very nice in Wisconsin.
Take a bath with me, Wisconsin.
They're either nice or cannibals. Those are the only two options.
Yes. So the Richard Haig got picked up with his wife, and basically what began, the first two murders were incredibly grisly. They got pulled into a van by a group of urban youths, and they drove them around town. They got stopped by the police, which is really interesting, and the police, like, checked them out, and in a moment of non-racism, didn't randomly search their van and let them go, and they fondled up his wife. They said Russ Kyle says this, fornicated with the fingers, you know, he says something like that. But they really—I mean—they finger popped his wife a couple times.
Yeah,
and then they finger popped her. I don't know if they went inside of her.
This second. From what
I
don't know what happened to you.
From what I heard, it was more just like a breast fondling.
Grabbing
at her.
It was a grabby as opposed to an insertion situation. I don't know.
And they took him out and they chopped her head off with a machete.
Yeah.
And then when he tried to come at them, they sliced up his face with the machete a whole bunch and left him for dead. But
you know what? I'm leaving. If I see my wife beheaded in front of me, I'm just going to, you know, she's dead. I'm just gone. Just going to hightail it out of there.
Not only did they chop him up with a machete, but they also hit him with a lug wrench, breaking his jaw in two places. They fucked this guy up. And they assumed that they had tied his hands behind his back. They assumed that he was dead, but he got up, staggered out on the street where he was discovered by a professor and his wife.
Yeah. Very nice. Mm. Always play dead.
Yeah, just singing he was going, well,
I guess that's what it sounds like when a white man dies.
Yeah, the death rattle of every great white American.
Mm-hmm. That's the sounds of a dying white devil.
I'll die singing the Star Spangled Banner, you bet your life, urban youths. You want to kill me with a machete? I'm the white devil and I know it.
So the second victim, her name was Frances Rose. They blocked her car, asked her for a ride. She stepped on the gas. They fired into the car and killed her.
Good move, though, on her part. She did not allow them to get into the car.
And then the next man was assaulted. Robert Stickman was assaulted by another man. He was able to take the gun away, and he fired back, and he ran away. And then the attacker, who was Leroy Doctor...
Yeah, Leroy Doctor,
the name of the other man, was later arrested and convicted of assault with a deadly weapon. Leroy Doctor, despite his family name,
not a doctor.
Worked at a McDonald's.
Worked at a McDonald's. Leroy McDonald would actually be a more common
Swedish
last name.
Swedish times, if your name was barber or like farmer, that's what you did.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and you figure that, you know, the doctor, because then you could be doctor. Right. You know?
Be doctor.
Dr. Leroy Doctor, that's a great name.
That's a very fun name, yeah.
It's a bad name for a failure.
Yeah. It is a bad name for a failure.
His name should be Leroy Hamburger.
Leroy Hamburger.
Which is that's an amazing name. He probably would have been one of the most successful stand-up comedians of the 70s if his name
I will let you
Leroy
know,
Hamburger.
As manager of this McDonald's, I, Leroy Hamburger, am going to, I'm going to kick it up a notch.
Oh, wow. Kick it up a notch again. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exciting.
Emeralds right there. And he just, well, I mean,
that's
another classic example
it.
Of the white man devil. Taking things from the black people.
Sure.
In order to, he's just like, kick it up a notch. That's what I'm going to do, too.
Bam.
Bam.
That's big. The bam is going to make me millions and millions of dollars that I'm not going to give back to the urban community.
White devil.
There it is.
The third victim.
Right now, they're just two. They're two and two, right? They killed two and only injured two others, right?
The third murder victim, Salim Arakat. This is our man who runs the grocery store in San Francisco. Here is the exchange that happened between him and his killer.
Okay.
The killer walked in and said, "Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you." The grocer replied, "Walaikum assalam. Peace be with you as well."
Oh, there we go. So far, so good. Yeah.
Arkat recognized the man. He was a regular customer. The grocer said, "Did you come for your apple today?"
That's a cigarette. That's a Newport Lucy. That's what they call that.
Really?
No, I don't think he meant an apple.
I think he just meant an apple.
Oh, okay.
Now you're being unpredictable.
I don't know. I'm always very predictable, so that's kind of crazy for me to dabble my toes in unpredictable waters.
The man responded, "Not exactly." Pulled a gun on the grocer, took him back to the bathroom, put a gun behind his left ear, wrapped the gun in a towel, boom, shot him dead.
That's a mob move.
That's definitely a mob move.
What was with all that peace be with you talk then?
I mean, I
think he was lying.
I forgot who else was saying, too, about how they like to like...
You're more indignant about the lie than you are about the murder.
If you're going to kill somebody, I mean, let him know.
It's just not a white devil crime.
It's not a white devil, because the white people are just like, "I'm going to eat you now. I'm going to eat your eyes, take your teeth, wear them as a necklace." I'm like, okay, well, at least you're honest.
Victim four, Paul Dankick. He was a junkie. He was murdered while making a phone call.
Well, that's just cleaning up the streets.
The other thing is that Russ Kyle calls him a junkie. I don't know if he's necessarily a junkie.
I got another source on this from True TV that said he was a junkie. He had a long history of drug offenses.
Okay.
Yeah, because the way Russ Kyle, but he's just like, he went and he called his favorite dealer in order to stop his symptoms of withdrawal.
Right.
Next thing he knows, he's laying face down in the alleyway with the very number in his hand that would have been his very salvation.
I mean, you know, that's a bad way to put it.
Ross, I love you.
It's great.
Russ Kyle.
Oh.
Yeah, he got murdered.
So this junkie got killed.
Yeah, the junkie got murdered. The man called, "Hey you," Dankick turned. The man pumped three bullets into his chest. The guy stared at him before staggering 20 feet past him down the sidewalk, collapsed onto the pavement, and died.
And then the next one was, it would eventually be San Francisco Mayor Art Agnos was out like just glad handing people in the street. Mm-hmm. Dude came up right behind him. I forget what he said. He said something to him. I think it was something along those like, "Hey," and then like,
"Hey, how
popped him two times point blank and then ran away. And then Art Agnos turns to the people he was talking about and he's like, "Don't worry, everybody calm down." And they're like, "You just got shot."
Bunch of times.
He thought it was fireworks.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because he didn't.
Let me hold your baby. Let me hold your baby. And it's like, no, you're covered in blood, sir. You're covered in blood.
Yeah, he survived.
He did survive.
He survived.
Yeah, he pulled a Teddy Roosevelt. He did the same thing when he got shot during the speech, but then kept doing the speech?
Yep.
Again, classic white devil move.
That's right. Can't kill us with one bullet. We'll keep on talking.
We'll give a speech, all right.
That's fine. Yeah, we can do that.
The next victim?
I would say that's the white devil's strongest asset is their ability to publicly speak.
Oh, man.
I mean, white devils have done very, very good with their public speaking
abilities. Duke, that man
phenomenal.
He can do
speech. Let's not get into pro David Duke talk.
Right, we're not saying pro David Duke. We're saying...
David Duke was a very bad man that nobody
governor.
Condones.
He was governor of the state.
He was a terrible man. The next victim, Marietta D. Gorlamo.
Bring me to that laundromat, though. Those whites got so white.
All right.
We'll get into a laundromat later.
Ku Klux Klan.
This woman, she was just shot in the street on the doorway of a barbershop, got shot twice in the chest. She was spun around by the bullets. The man shot her again in the back.
These are brutal killings.
These are brutal
killings. We're still joking around, of course. We like to keep it light around here.
That's
but when
right.
it comes down to it, it's like these are people literally walking down. Jesus Christ, I just hit that microphone cover.
Very animated, Henry Zebrowski.
But it's like these are people just walking down the street, and then a dude's walking next to them, like turns around and just pops them right in the head.
I mean, yeah. This is one of the biggest fears that I think all humans have.
It's
just
my
a
number one
drive.
Fear.
Especially those of us who live in cities.
Of course.
And I literally went into therapy after 9/11 because I became obsessed with this concept of this idea that 9/11 shows that the social contract's now broken, that now anything can happen. You know, I used to think about this
such
a lot.
Such a nerd.
I was before
no,
I was,
I know. I just don't think you have to go to the therapy
but
over
now
the
that's
goddamn
why
thing.
I smoke fucking piles and piles of weed and I'm
right.
totally good.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
I'm totally fine, man.
I'm
totally fucking not scared anymore,
no,
man.
Nobody thinks you're scared. By the way, you've been a victim of quite a few African American hate crimes. The white devil, that is
yes.
Henry Zebrowski, has been beaten up.
I tried
many times.
To reason with them.
Right.
I tried to public. I was like, let's hold a debate.
How many? Yeah, exactly. Well, once you start publicly speaking, they know they're going to lose. What was the? How many times have you been beat up by urban youths?
Three times. Three times. But I am a survivor.
And then, of course,
it is just hard to keep the white devil in me down.
It is.
The Abraham Lincoln inside of me.
I believe we discussed this earlier, but on a way back episode, but there was a moment where you were on the subway and you were forced to do a Chris Farley impression in order for the urban youths to allow you to get off of the subway, and that's one of my favorite stories ever.
But that, again, shows the power of laughter. It's communication.
That's right. That's right. Okay, let's get back to the hate crimes of the 70s, not the hate crimes involving Henry Zebrowski.
Victim 6 is particularly sad. His name was Ilario Bertuccio. He was an 81-year-old janitor who worked at the 7-Up Bottling Company.
God like, his life wasn't already terrible.
He was already reeking a 7-Up.
Yeah.
Walking down the street, getting chased by dogs and kids.
Not to mention, I mean, the amount of sugary substances on the floor of a 7-Up factory. I mean, that's a tough place to be a janitor.
Covered in bees.
Always covered in bees.
Soaked in 7-Up, just reeking a lemon lime.
Oh, my goodness.
After he finished sweeping up the loading dock for that night, he collected his nightly free bottle of 7-Up and stuck it in a paper bag.
I took the 7-Up and I would split it with my family.
You know,
all of us, I will have a thimbleful for my daughter who was born with no knees.
No knees?
And my wife who was born with tits 4 feet.
Tits 4 feet?
But no, if tits were the tits should be where I could find it attractive, I just poured the 7-Up on her belly and I
licked
suck it
off there.
Another sad day in the life of Emilio Borghi, whatever his name is. I can't even bring
Ilario
myself to remember.
Ilario Bertuccio.
Yeah, I think he was a white fella. At least he didn't have
he was a white guy.
Tits.
Of course he was a white
he's
guy.
He's Italian.
Yeah, he's Italian. So a stranger walked up to him in the dark, shot him 4 times in the chest. The old man's prized bottle of 7-Up shattered on the cement next to where he fell.
No.
He died instantly.
Sad.
Oh, I cannot believe that I'm letting the pigeons have the last bit of my very tasty white liquor.
That's an accent from a world that doesn't exist. That is not a country. I've never heard such a person speak in such a way.
We live in a multiverse. Within this universe, there's many other types of life. So who's to say that accent is false? Maybe I am channeling... maybe I'm channeling these accents that I have from other frequencies of life.
No, you just need to go back to acting school and stop making up parallel universes to explain your lack of accent ability.
So they start, victim 7 and 8 is when they start stepping it up. This is when they killed 2 white people in 6 minutes.
2 in 6 minutes?
Yeah, they killed some guy on the street. He ran over to a bus stop, killed a woman right there, and then is the their most prolific night, one night, 4 murders.
It was sort this is purge. Really, and this is what Ross Kyle was describing, is with like one shooting, a shooting would happen on one side of the street, and then shootings were happening on the other side of town, and then they also. I'm sorry, I'm also burping hard. I had a bunch of whitefish.
Whitefish for breakfast is the worst sounding breakfast I've ever heard.
Oh no, I'm not doing. I'm all jam packed.
All right, just take it easy for a second.
So like, but they would run across the street, would shoot one, and then run down the street, and then shoot the other, and then hop in a van and run away.
Massive confusion. There's no way the cops could possibly.
And so basically, after
well, they killed 4 and then shot. They shot 5, but they killed 4. They killed one woman in a laundromat. They killed the killer was described as a tall, slender black man wearing a 3/4 length leather coat and a Fu Manchu mustache.
Oh, very cool.
And another one, Tana Smith. This one's sad. She'd recently lost weight. And she decided to go buy some material at the fabric store. Oh. She was going to sew herself a new dress just to celebrate her new weight loss. And right.
Isn't
that
not the
up.
Saddest way to celebrate how much weight? Do you have to go and make your own dress?
Yeah, sew your own dress.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was her hobby. Maybe it's she like liked making dresses.
Again, these are not the white people you should be killing. These white people have no power. They're at laundromats sewing their own dresses.
Dudes wearing top hats
with
monocles.
Kill them.
The ones that are telling you that they automatically assume that you're going to shine their shoes, that's the guy you shoot in the head.
That's the guy, not the girl at the laundromat.
Another guy who was killed that night, Vincent Wallen. He was killed on his 69th birthday. He liked to feed pigeons.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he liked to feed pigeons.
I mean, pigeons are a nuisance.
Yeah, they are, but still.
I don't mind the pigeon.
And then the last
like
guy of the night, John Babick, he was 84. He was dressed in rags. Most people thought he was a bum. He spent a lot of his time rummaging through trash bins looking for recyclables.
I wonder why they thought that.
He just turned out to be a stand-up comedian.
Isn't that interesting?
He was shot at... I kind of love this guy. He was shot at point-blank range in the back while he was digging through the garbage can. He turned around. He grabbed his assailant by the face and... As they said, he began to howl at him until he finally dropped dead.
Well, that's going to terrify that man for the rest of his life.
I won't, though, because he's a death angel.
I guess so, yeah.
So if you were already describe yourself as a death angel, that's what you wanted.
You want a man to
you
grab you while
most.
They're dying.
Yeah. That's like a standing O for a stand-up comedian.
Oh, okay.
But it was
like, hell yeah.
It was an aggressive howl, though.
I mean, I don't think that these people are really killing the most high-end individuals.
They're
here.
Really
it
not.
Sounds like, they're skirting around.
They really are.
This white devil hatred. They gotta go after the man if they want to kill the white.
This is the end of the first wave.
Yes, and so now the police, of course, they freak out. Nobody knows
naturally.
What to do. They put out like the 2 drawings of like it's like what we were talking about last time, where every time they're like, it's like it seems to be urban youths, right. And so they're like, all right, let's go, let's put out the mugshot of number 7 and number 14.
You know? Right,
like,
exactly.
Like, yeah, we'll run these
print
out.
Them out.
And the main thing that. Happened with that is that this is where the Zebra Task Force started, because in order to hide their communications, they reverted everything to on their walkie-talkies to the Z frequency.
Okay.
And they became known as the Zebra Task Force, which is then technically why it's called the Zebra Murders. Yeah.
And they were able to link all of the murders together because they were all done with the same type of weapon. They were all done with a .32 pistol.
Okay.
So they were able to match all of the shell casings to one gun.
Right.
Or maybe a couple of guns, but they all used the same caliber. There was no motive whatsoever, no exchange of bullets. The killers, like the people who were killed, did not know any of the killers. Like,
right.
Nobody had any enemies or anything like that.
Again, this is
like
the
that.
Most terrifying crime. It's how you shut down a city.
Yeah.
Well, this is when you want to go dig through the garbage, you know? Someone just comes and shoots you in the chest a couple of times.
Same time, though, I think I'd be wishing for it.
Yeah.
You know?
At that point, yeah.
God, it's scary to me.
Well, really, they didn't even start the big profiling thing on the black guys and didn't release the sketches until the second wave came.
Well, now they didn't know how many people were involved here yet, right?
Yeah,
they thought it could be one person or...
They really had no idea. Wave 2 came, they victim, and they only... Wave 1, that was their... That was their fucking big to do. They killed 12 people in wave one. Wave two, they only killed two people. They killed Thomas Rainwater and Nelson T. Shields IV.
Well, now this sounds like a white guy that
needed to get, get hits.
They finally got a high profile white guy.
What was his name again?
Nelson T. Shields IV.
Nelson T. Shields IV.
Just sounds like a dude who's like on a rowing team, who's like in the rich kids' camp, who like comes over and he's like, "You fat boys think you're going to beat us in the obstacle course?"
That.
We got enough spirit to beat these 12 skinny guys. And then little do they know, in real life, the fat kids always lose.
Oh, well, then it comes down to a rowing competition, that's for sure.
I remember seeing heavyweights and being like, yeah, I can do it. It's like, no.
My brother was anorexic, so I bought him heavyweights for his birthday. That's a little joke. Anyway.
So, Nelson T. Shields IV, he was the son of a wealthy DuPont executive. Hailed from Greenville, Delaware. He was helping a friend load a rug into a station wagon.
Marnie, we have to get this rug. It's made out of human skin. It's made from the, we made several batches of urban youths into a lovely, lovely brown rug for the dining room.
I'm sure it's a very nice rug.
Yeah. Pow, 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 pow.
I love that they killed this guy, you know?
So that by this point, there were witnesses who had survived these killings, so they did have a couple of sketches. They released the sketches, and this is when there was a huge effort by the San Francisco Police Department to find these guys, so they started stopping and frisking.
Well, as soon as they killed the white guy, the wealthy one, then they're like, well, we better get on this.
That's when it
he's got
really
some money behind
so fucked up. Yeah, it's really, so stupid.
I mean, it's really kind of the same as you know, most killings. It's like when... You know, when
it's
the wealthy
people.
It's poor people. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, like poor white people do get more press than poor black people, but it is still poor people. So they released this sketch of black guys with short afros and narrow chins. They stopped over 500 black men and they searched them during Operation Zebra. And here's the funny thing. This is something I've never heard before.
This is really, are you talking about the zebra card?
Yeah, when people were stopped, the cops gave them a zebra card in case they were stopped again so they could show the cops like, yeah, I got my zebra card, already been stopped.
I see. I wonder if someone has any of these zebra cards lying around. I'd like to get one.
I tried searching just to find an image of what these look like. I couldn't find anything.
Man, no fucking coverage. This is ridiculous.
It is a little bit ridiculous. God, getting that card. It's a good day when you get your zebra card, I guess, huh?
Yeah, sure.
Can you vote with that?
No. I mean,
I'd be
no,
like,
absolutely.
I got my zebra card. I'm fine.
You get like a $5 off at Burger King.
That's nice. I'd get stopped and frisked for a $5. Well, you got
Here's
the non-murderer discount then. Would you like a large fry with that?
That's the most racist rule of all. Any black person who's not a murderer gets $5 off Whoppers this weekend.
Well, that's great.
So this is the point when the police also send out a $30,000 reward.
Wow.
And we're going to let Russ Kyle come back to tell us what happened next.
Oh, cool.
I love the music.
After
it's great.
6 months of holding San Francisco in the complete grip of terror, after dozens of eyewitnesses had given testimony, after thousands of black men had been harassed and racial profiled,
black men.
The San Francisco Police Department finally cracked the zebra case. Yeah, and it was in the most common of manners. A snitch.
Yeah.
Lured by the prospect of a $30,000 reward.
He's got disdain for everyone.
Anthony Harris worked here in this building, which was, back then, the Black Self-Help Moving Company. Yeah, Harris squealed on his comrades and gave them all up.
Why does he hate the snitch so much?
He hates everybody in the whole scenario.
People were murdered by these other people.
Yeah.
I mean,
but he also flipped on him.
But then he also does a sort of like a little bit of a liberal rant on the government about how badly the government handled it with the zebra cards. He goes like, yeah, and the fat cats in the mayoral's office decided to pull every black member of society out onto the streets.
He really does stretch the word black into like a full sentence.
I would get offended just going to like the pants store with him. Yeah. Like if him just, I need
black,
a pair of black trousers. Okay. To match my black suit I'm wearing for the black wedding I'm going to this weekend.
Very interesting. All right, well, I guess we'll just get that for you.
Why'd you call it a black wedding?
Yes.
Just a wedding, Russ.
So the snitch.
I mean, you know, the snitch. Yeah.
I've had a long weekend being mad.
That is exhausting to be that upset constantly.
So this snitch, his name was Anthony Harris. He worked at Black Self-Help, and he had been a Yeah, Black Self-Help. And I
Black Self-Help say, movie, is like, that's a ridiculous name for a movie company,
yeah, Black
right?
Self-Help. Well, this wasn't the only business in town that did have the name Black and assumed that it was just for the black community. There was another one called My Black Muslim Bakery.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, interestingly enough, was one of the very first bakeries in the entire country to use all organic products.
Very interesting.
Wow, but yeah. Then there wasn't a bunch of like sex crimes going
there
on?
There were
in the back
a ton of sex crimes, yeah, and a lot of murders
but
linked to this place.
Organic
over a span of
muffins.
about 30 years. And also another connection, yeah, to the zebra killings. In 2007, these two guys, Devondre Broussard and Antoine Mackey, killed a man because he was white, and they were inspired by the zebra murders. And there was this other guy, Youssef Bey, who started the whole thing.
I'm nervous all of a sudden.
Well, I don't know why. You've said nothing offensive.
And by the way, your Black Muslim Bakery has a long tradition of killing journalists who criticize them.
Well, don't criticize my Black Muslim Bakery.
Just
I mean,
don't say anything
knows
about
that.
The title. Just eat the cupcakes. They're delicious.
Gluten-free. Sure, a bunch of people get murdered, and there's a couple of heads in the yeah, attic. But, you know, just enjoy the all-organic waffles.
So this snitch, this guy, Anthony Harris, he was the one who told the cops, like, these guys were part of a death cult called the Death Angels. Mm-hmm. They believed that white people were an inferior race created by an evil scientist named Yacoub, and that killing right, blue-eyed devils, or grafted snakes, as they called them, would guarantee entry into heaven. As,
I understand.
As most of was Muslims with the killing and getting into heaven.
Yeah, I mean, I wish that would actually get you into heaven. I wish heaven was real, number one, and I wish, number two, that you had to murder to get there.
They've got it wrong for the first place. They don't eat pork.
This is the biggest complaint that you have.
Now, to give a little bit of background information on Yacoub.
Our maker.
Our maker.
Is he our maker?
Yeah. He was a black scientist with a gigantic head who lived 6,600 years ago and was responsible for creating the white race to be a race of devils.
Well, thank
now,
you so much.
Now, is there any connection to large head and to the gray alien race?
Not that I've seen yet. Although,
not,
yeah, I did
not
find...
Not until you get your Tumblr page up and running.
I did find the only connection that I found was a man made a video about Yacoub, and he okay, also sells t-shirts. And on that side, he sells t-shirts of Yacoub, but also sells gray t-shirts.
This is what I'm
the
saying.
The t-shirts of the grays on them.
This so is we should, what I'm saying.
It's yeah, not so much Jesus. It's Lord Yacoub. He's our creator, and he's our maker. Very good.
Why did he? So he made us to be slaves?
He made us to be devils. He made us.
I don't know
be,
why you would make us to be devils, though.
At the age of six, he discovered the law of attraction and repulsion by mm-hmm, playing with magnets made of steel. This insight led to a dastardly plan to create new people. He, quote, saw an unlike human being made to attract others who could, with the knowledge of tricks and lies, rule the original black man.
Did he mention public speaking? I guess those are tricks and lies, huh?
By the age of 18, he had exhausted all knowledge in the universities of Mecca. He then discovered that the original black man contained both a black germ and a brown germ.
Oh, okay.
Is this true?
Well,
no.
I'll
the
get,
answer
no,
is no,
no
it's not.
That. I'll get to that in a second. But, I'll get no, to that in a second. Okay. He then, with 59,999 followers, he went to the island of Patmos, which is in Greece, where he established a despotic regime and set about breeding out the black traits, killing all the darker babies, and created a brown race after 200 years. And after 600 years of deliberate eugenics, the white race was created.
All right. Well, there we go. Thank
Happy
you so much.
Happy birthday to us.
Yeah, it feels yes, great. Yeah.
So, and according to Nation nice, of Islam doctrine, because Malcolm X talks about this quite a bit in his autobiography, he said that the black race includes all Asian people, by the way, who are considered to be
do
shared
they know
ancestors
that?
Of the Moors.
Because they get so mad at the black race when they don't shop properly in their stores.
And actually, sociologists mix Asians and white people together when they do most of their research.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Jews...
That is interesting. So you're saying I'm closer to Asian than I'm not?
I'm not going to tell you that because I don't want you to blow your brains out, because I know your deep-seated love of the Asian people, and you would just be so overwhelmed with joy you couldn't deal with it.
So according to the Nation of Islam, Yaku's progeny, the white devils, mm-hmm, were destined to rule for 6,000 years before the original black people of the world regained dominance, and that process began in 1914. So
I thought
we're
you were
going to
say 2008.
So... You want.
I'm confused.
What do you mean?
No. You're not going to be confused anymore.
So they were already in charge.
Then they got out of charge.
Yaku was in charge. Put themselves specifically out of charge. They demoted themselves in order to make white people come get us again.
No, not they, because Yaqub was a rebel.
It's a master plan here.
He broke away.
So he's like the General Lee of the black Nation of Islam.
I wouldn't say he's the general. I would say
you're talking about the car from Dukes of Hazzard?
No, the General Lee from our Civil War.
Oh, our Civil War.
No, not I would.
Is he like Admiral Lafayette from France who came to America?
Okay, those are the two historical things you know about wars and France.
Maybe. Where is the Alamo?
San Antonio. I know that one. That's in good. San Antonio.
Shout out to our San Antonio fans.
Hello, San Antonio. Now,
I do have proof. I have absolute irrefutable proof.
Irrefutable.
Irrefutable proof that this is true.
How?
Using the unbiased measure of genetic science, these scientists point to the same birth date for Europeans as did the Most Honorable Elijah. Professor Alan Cooper, director of the Australian Center for Ancient DNA at the University of Adelaide, analyzed DNA from ancient skeletons and found that the genetic makeup of modern Europe was established 6,500 years ago.
Now, is there any way they could have just made all this up?
Probably.
No. They typed it on a typewriter, so it becomes fact.
Yes. So this is the motivation. From a very racist website that I...
Oh, yes, I imagine.
Oh, well, that's just a small part of a good 10-page-long article.
Because my problem is I thought that we were the original race that lived on Mars and came here in order to help Yaqub and help these people.
No,
right?
No.
I thought that's what we did.
Yeah. We were an offshoot of the original black race created by an evil scientist to rule over the white people because I don't know why.
You know, I'm actually going to say both of you are wrong and we're just from a swamp. You know, just a bunch of little microorganisms that figured out.
You're talking about the bog people, eh?
All right, I'll say bog. Okay, that's my theory then. We're bog people, yes.
And by the way, did you know that we are known as albinoids and black people are known as the Ebonese?
Oh, I like Ebonese.
Yeah. I like that.
Albinoids
all of our Ebonese listeners.
Because white people are supposedly just albinos. So they bred out all the black people in any time.
I see, I don't agree with that because albinos are psychic and albinos will trick you as soon as they get a chance.
An albino will
come up to you and be like, oh, I'm a puddle of milk. And I was like, what is that?
Milk.
What is that albino?
Yeah, tried to suck him with a
puddle
straw.
Of milk. Yeah, and then I suck him up. Next thing you know, he's still in your wallet.
Right, yeah.
And he's just like, oh, I've got red eyes so I can see in the dark.
Again, that's just a theory from Henry Zabrowski. Just a theory.
I've never met an albino person.
Oh, yeah, you have.
It doesn't matter. Okay, we're just going to...
I have.
Yeah, of course. You just didn't see him.
Yeah. Yes, you have. Many times.
I just, you know, anybody whiter than me, I can't handle.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's not too many of them out there.
So let's come back to the zebra killing.
Yes, okay. So,
let's come back to this snitch. How the cops knew that he was an absolute part of the zebra killings is he gave testimony.
He showed us the secret handshake. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're elaborate handshakes. It's amazing they can even speak with each other.
Again.
Okay.
All right. A good handshake is a very difficult thing to learn.
It's very difficult. I can't even get... If a handshake has more than one movement
stop
to it...
Stop to it? Yeah. No,
I can't.
No.
I mean, if I can do, hi, how are you?
I do the
I
firm...
I like to just grab people's belt buckles and shake them.
That's the white devil's handshake. Yeah. You know that.
That's our last podcast, fans. From now on, you can identify yourself as a fan by grabbing another person's belt buckle and shaking it. If they laugh, then they're your friend.
I don't know if they can get the show in prison when they get sentenced to 5 years for sexual harassment, so don't do that, everybody.
So this guy, this snitch.
Right.
He told the cops that they had the black Muslim group, the Death Angels, they had kidnapped a homeless man. They took him back to black self-help.
Can you kidnap a homeless man? I mean, all you do is make his life better. Right? I mean, hey, get off the streets. Come to my house and live with me for a little while. Oh, okay.
So you mean I get to stay here forever?
Yeah, I think we kidnapped the wrong guy. He doesn't seem to have any...
This is great. You got a cot here, and there's a bucket for me to go to the bathroom in.
He's not supposed to enjoy it, is he?
You mean to tell me I don't get rained on? And there's a collar here and a chain to a pipe that keeps me safe.
Well,
and
you know,
it's
the rule
mine.
Is when you kidnap a white, he's yours now, so I guess we got to keep him.
So, I'm adaptable.
Adaptable, homeless, Henry Zebrowski.
So this homeless guy was stripped naked, tied to a column, and then each of the men chose a weapon, a knife, a meat cleaver, or a machete, and then they took turns hacking him to pieces.
Oh, okay.
Hacking off
so
all
it's
of his limbs.
It's called a butcher party, and they can be very fun, but it's all about who's DJing.
That's right. Of course. I've heard the DJ does make the butcher party go.
Yes,
yeah, they
does.
Cut his arms and legs off.
Yep,
they
yep.
really.
And
they
were a bad bunch of dudes. Sack. And yeah. then we, and then you know, and then this snitch picked them up. So right. now we, they are off the streets.
Yeah.
And what are their names? The final four.
Their yes. names
so the
are.
Cops
are
ended up arresting four people total.
J.C. X. Simon.
Okay. J.C. Simon.
Yeah, J.C. X. Simon.
I mean, he just put the X in there, so I'm not going to give it to him.
Yeah, he put the X in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you can't just give yourself an X. You're
yeah, they're
cool.
like Wolverine.
Sure. Yeah.
They're all like Wolverine. And by the way, the cops knew that this guy was telling the truth because they had fished out a torso that was badly mutilated out of San Francisco Bay
like
just
a couple weeks
earlier.
Ago. And they could, yeah, they couldn't identify yeah. it, so they picked them up. And then basically, they just he showed them where they were. They did morning raids. They picked up all four. They picked right. the seven that they could get. Four of them stuck. They got life in prison, right?
Yeah, all of them. All four of them got life. Well, only four of them went to trial.
Oh, so there was one of them that recently also just came up for parole. Yeah. I think it was
denied.
Yeah, he was just it was Jesse Lee Cooks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He just came up for parole and he was denied.
Well, yeah. that's probably for the best.
So again,
he was the guy that laughed when the verdict was read.
This is
oh,
one of
oh,
the.
And by the way, at the time, it was the longest criminal trial in California history.
Really?
It lasted over a year.
God wow. damn!
Yeah,
well, I'm sure it's because what you're doing now is I'm sure there is there's some physical evidence in terms of like bullets and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but because of this type of crime, it's random shootings. There's no the motive is really tricky to nail down because mm-hmm. like
the hatred of the white devil. I mean that's fairly simple motive.
But
I
understand. But it's a hard thing to fight for, which is like proving how do you
proving
really
that
prove
white people aren't
hates?
The devil?
Yeah. 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 First of all, they showed like Einstein,
right?
John Lennon.
Devil.
Hey,
devil.
No, no. Yeah.
You know, the burden of proof is on the prosecution, sirs.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
Can you not prove that we're devils? I don't think
so.
It's difficult not to do, yeah.
I mean, for one break.
I can't. I'm
Orville Redenbacher.
Devil.
And the snitch.
Mark
he got
Twain.
He got $30,000, and him, his girlfriend, and his girlfriend's son, they got placed in witness protection. They've never been seen again.
And they started the little nun chain Godfather's Pizza.
You're saying Herman Cain was the snitch.
Right?
Yeah, we did a Godfather's Pizza reference.
Yeah.
Which is good. Double Godfather's Pizza reference.
Yeah, the entire trial took a year. The jury took 18 hours to reach a unanimous decision.
Guilty, guilty, guilty.
Guilty, guilty, guilty,
and
guilty.
So again, this is one of the most notorious crimes on the face of the planet. We should get a good movie about this.
It would be nice.
Like, a good movie about it.
A good movie.
And that's what I was saying earlier in at the very beginning of the episode. The movie that's coming out is about how the cop broke the case, how he cracked the case.
The snitch told him what happened.
The snitch just went in. I mean, if you're talking about cracking the case, what was it, just his idea to put out the $30,000 reward?
Maybe.
It's brilliant.
I mean, it just sounds like a shitty movie.
Yeah. I also want to see the story of Yaqub here. I really want to see his story. I want to see the white origin.
There's
story.
Some great YouTube videos about
yeah.
this.
I really
about
think
Yaqub.
That Yaqub's movie will get a limited release.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. It's possible it won't do too well in the cinema, but it's going to be large on DVD sales.
But then again, I mean, honestly, we literally could do another like 2 to 3 more episodes yeah. on the other black serial killers that we haven't covered.
Mm-hmm. We're going to wait about 7 to 8 months, though, because I just feel like we've discussed.
Well, I ran across another Muslim death cult that operated in Miami in the late 80s that I just, because I was already doing all this
stuff.
They
were called the C&C Sound Machine.
C&C, I think it was Music Factory, wasn't it? Music Factory.
Got the good vibrations.
You get good vibrations.
All right.
Pump up the jam, pump it up, while your feet are stomping.
All right, well, ironically,
while the beat is humping.
Make your jams all pumped up, get your jams all, put your jams on your hat.
And this is when I wish we weren't friends. but anyway, ironically, we did this to shed light on the very underreported world of black serial killers, and so please do your own research on it, because I think these stories need to come to light, you know, in order to, hopefully... have less black serial killers.
And I wanted to mention one more, because when I was telling people that I was doing research on black serial killers, and a couple of people asked this on the Facebook page, a lot of people asked Wayne Williams. What yes. about Wayne Williams?
Well, Wayne Williams, there was a I lot think, of sort of legal stuff that got tied into that, and it's a very gray area.
Not only that, but I think we could do a whole episode on the Atlanta child murders, because you have the KKK coming in there.
Sure.
It's a fascinating case. All so right. Wayne Williams was, yeah, it's too much gray
it's
area.
It's a whole thing. We'll have to do a whole episode about it.
Yeah, that's just a brutal, brutal shit.
So we got the ex-fella, this cook guy, and two other guys were arrested.
Two other guys. Yep. The other guy's name was, one of the other guys' name was Green.
Okay.
I don't know the other one.
All right, cool. All right, everybody. Well, we will talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Hail Satan!
Hail Satan, indeed.
You snatch it.
All right. Hail Russ!
Goodbye from the White Devil. I hope you enjoy the taffy I made.
All right. Well, don't eat the taffy. Never eat the White Devil taffy. Hail yourselves, everybody.
Hail me!
Hail yourselves. Yeah, White Devil. I got you, fucker. Oh, my God.